This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good Tuesday morning that seems much more like a Monday than a Tuesday. Hope you had a great long weekend, but I'll tell you, it seems like after these long weekends, getting back to work is much, much, much more difficult. The alarm went off this morning, just wasn't feeling it. I'm guessing you're probably in the same position. Give me a call if you want to be part of the show today, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. We've got a lot we want to talk about this morning. We want you to weigh in on this. Cleveland County commissioners are considering a $20 million payout after a Norman business owner died in jail custody. We'll have the details on that one. Some Sooner Care recipients are being told, get to work or lose your benefits. We'll talk about that. With Labor Day over, the state lawmakers are now getting back to work studying issues that could affect policy. We'll take a look at some of the bills they're considering. A longtime Shawnee mental health facility is closing its doors for good. The impact that it could have on the community. Massage therapists in Edmond are facing new rules to crack down on prostitution. Let's talk about that one. It's a two-way Tuesday. President Donald Trump signed several Second Amendment-related pardons. Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association will be here to break it all down for us. Plus, we'll take your calls and comments at 405-608-4377. But first, your Freedom First News on Freedom 96.9. Cleveland County commissioners are set to consider a $20 million settlement over the jail death of Norman's cookie queen, Shannon Hanchett. Hanchett was in jail for 12 days while experiencing a severe mental health crisis. Her family's lawsuit alleges she became severely dehydrated, stopped eating, and eventually became unable to stand. It says that she was found unresponsive and that officers dragged her down a concrete hallway because she couldn't walk. The lawsuit also alleges jail staff mocked her and medical records were falsified. Hanchett died of heart failure with psychosis and severe dehydration contributing. The county would not admit to any wrongdoing under the proposed settlement. An OU healthcare nurse is facing a felony charge after police say he stole fentanyl from the OU Health Edmond Medical Center. Court documents allege ICU nurse Joseph Muniz repeatedly canceled fentanyl transactions, blocked surveillance cameras, and was caught putting vials into his pockets. Investigators also say that he used a syringe to remove leftover fentanyl from discarded IV bags for personal use, and that Muniz admitted to stealing the drug. The 38-year-old is already in a state-approved program for nurses dealing with substance abuse, but practice under supervision. He's being held on $3,000 bond. Well, starting January 1st, some Sooner Care recipients will have to meet new work requirements to keep their coverage. The Oklahoma Health Care Authority is sending letters to potentially affected adults ages 19 through 64. They'll generally need to work, volunteer, participate in work programs, or attend school for at least 80 hours per month or meet a minimum monthly income. There are certain exemptions for groups including pregnant women, people with disabilities, and those with certain serious health conditions. Oklahoma lawmakers are already looking ahead to 2027 legislative session using interim studies to examine issues that could become future legislation. This fall, lawmakers are studying everything from domestic violence and the sex offender registry to education, health care, property taxes, and artificial intelligence. They're also looking at cold cases, rural infrastructure, workforce needs, and criminal justice. These studies give lawmakers time to hear from the experts, examine potential changes, and gather information before deciding what issues to pursue when the session begins next February. Well, Gateway to Prevention and Recovery in Shawnee is closing after 42 years, citing state and federal funding cuts and ongoing financial problems. The Mental Health and Substance Use Agency plans to shut down on September 30th. The Citizen Potawatomi Nation says it donated $1.7 million to keep Gateway open, but its agreement gives the tribe the rights to the agency's assets if it closes. That includes Gateway's campus. Tribal leaders say that they're considering how to use those assets to continue addressing addiction and mental health needs in the community. A new Oklahoma law is giving families of cold case victims a new way to seek answers. Senate Bill 1636, signed by Governor Kevin Stitt after passing both chambers unanimously, allows families and advocates to request an independent review of unsolved homicides and disappearances. Investigators not originally assigned to the case will determine whether it should be reopened, including whether new witnesses should be interviewed or evidence like DNA can be retested. Those decisions must be made within 6 months. The new law takes effect in November. Well, massage therapists in Edmond are pushing back against new city rules aimed at cracking down on illegal massage businesses and prostitution. The ordinance requires massage businesses to get a special use permit, display a state license, and keep storefront windows free of opaque tinting. The therapists say that the new permitting process adds hundreds of dollars in costs and unfairly treats legitimate businesses like suspects. The rules took effect this year, and massage businesses have until December 31st to comply. So let's talk a little bit about this one. We've seen these shady massage parlors in a lot of different places throughout the metro, and we know what's going on behind closed doors. It's the oldest profession. If the real target is prostitution and trafficking, though, is making legitimate massage therapists jump through expensive hoops really the best way to get there? Or should Oklahoma be having a larger conversation about legalizing and regulating consensual adult prostitution? I know we're going pretty controversial here this morning, aren't we? We want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Well, these days, getting a little action, if you know what I mean, is as easy as getting on an app and just swiping right or swiping left. So in terms of the morality of it, I don't know if that really exists anymore. We hear all the time, my body, my choice. So shouldn't women have a choice to make a profit with their bodies? Regulating it could lead to an end of forced prostitution and give the state another tax revenue source. But then there is the question of morality. When you talk about this kind of thing, most people, myself included, we kind of grimace a little bit at the thought of legalized prostitution. Is prohibition actually working, though? If illegal prostitution continues despite criminal penalties and enforcement efforts, is it really worth asking whether the current approach is accomplishing its goal? We know that in many of these cases, women are brought in from other countries, often illegally, and they're sold into sexual servitude, basically, in exchange for coming over here. It's not that they want to do this. It's that they're being forced to do this. And when they get arrested, are we really arresting the criminals here, or are we arresting other victims here while the people that hold them into this servitude get off scot-free and make tons and tons of money? Why make legitimate businesses, meanwhile, prove that they're not criminals? So we've got a lot of very legitimate massage parlors here in Oklahoma City in the Edmond area. The Edmond therapists argue they've already got licenses, they're regulated by the state, yet they're facing additional permits and additional costs because some businesses may be fronts for illegal activity. That's a valid consideration. But could regulation bring the activity out of the shadows? A legal framework could potentially establish licensing for prostitution, health, safety requirements. It could include inspections, age verifications, rather than relying on primarily police enforcement. Would legalization make it easier to identify exploitation? Advocates argue that an above-ground industry gives authorities more opportunities to identify trafficking, coercion, and abusive work conditions. But what happens with law-abiding massage therapists? The central question from this story is whether enforcement aimed at prostitution is unintentionally placing financial and regulatory burdens on businesses that have nothing at all to do with prostitution. Give us a shout if you want to weigh in, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Another question is, could police resources be better used? So instead of investigating every massage parlor as a potential front, a regulated system of legalized prostitution could allow law enforcement to concentrate on coercion, on trafficking, on violence, and genuinely illegal operations. But legalization isn't a magical solution here. Critics would argue that trafficking and illegal activity can still occur in regulated industries, Take Oklahoma's medical marijuana industry, for example, where we've seen a huge amount of illegal activity come out of this legalized profession, and legalization could cause its own enforcement challenges. I guess the bigger question here is, if the goal is to reduce exploitation and protect communities, should the laws focus on regulating consensual adult prostitution while aggressively prosecuting trafficking, coercion, and violence? Something to think about. Coming up after the break, we do have a lot of stories in today's newscast that focus on mental health. On one side, we have a woman who died in jail while having a mental health crisis. On the other side, we're closing down yet another mental health facility in Oklahoma. Are we, as a state, failing those with mental health issues? Let's talk about it after the break. It's 81 degrees under clear, sunny skies at 716. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
Traffic. We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Tuesday morning. Got a crash reported at the Dallas Junction. That's 235 and I-40 causing delays. Construction delays, Danforth, between Santa Fe and Kelly. Eastbound, I-44 at Classen.
When it comes to freedom, size matters. Your 100,000-watt voice of freedom. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
If you have an upcoming conference or will be a vendor at the 2026 Oklahoma State Fair and need more promotional products, don't stress. Call Minuteman Press. We're your one-stop shop for printing and promotional products. Whether you need additional flyers, banners, brochures, business cards, or promotional giveaways, we can get them printed quickly. We also offer trade show displays, retractable banners, and step-in repeat banners to help your booth stand out. Conveniently located just 10 minutes from the fairgrounds at 300 North Ann Arbor, we're ready to help with jobs of any size. No order is too big or too small. We've got you covered. Minuteman Press, 405-942-5595.
Tired of hard water stains, cloudy dishes, dry skin, and mineral buildup? You don't have to call the water company. Your local experts at Service Pro Plumbing install quality water softener systems that help protect your plumbing, extend the life of your appliances, and leave your water feeling better throughout your home. Better water starts with one call. What are you waiting for? Call Service Pro Plumbing or visit serviceprookc.com right now.
Knowledge is power. Combine that with 100,000 watts of power, and you've got the most important talk station in Oklahoma. We're the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
It's Eric Erickson. Listen live weekdays right here on Freedom 96.9 from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I will give you the news of the day, hit all the breaking news as it happens during the show, give you the analysis and my opinion, and I will take your phone calls on what you think about it to 877-973-7425 right here as we spread freedom across Oklahoma on Freedom 96.9 weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back on this Tuesday, September 8th, 2026. Feels more like a Monday than a Tuesday after that long holiday weekend. Hope you had a really good time and a safe time. Finally, we're going to be beating the heat just a little bit. Looks like today we'll have hot and sunny conditions with a high of a record-breaking 101 degrees. Tonight, clear and warm with a low of 77. On Wednesday, hot and sunny, high of 101. And then finally, a little break from the triple digits. On Thursday, cloudy with showers possible. We definitely need those. High of 85 degrees. 81 degrees outside right now under clear, sunny skies at 720. We have two stories today that really paint a troubling picture of Oklahoma's mental health system, from the front lines of crisis care to the lack of community resources. Over in Cleveland County, Shannon Hanchett died in jail after her family's lawsuit alleges that her severe mental health crisis went untreated as her physical condition deteriorated. Now, Gateway to Prevention and Recovery in Shawnee is preparing to close after 42 years, citing state and federal funding cuts. The nonprofit provided mental health and substance use services. So the question is here, where are Oklahomans in crisis supposed to go when these community services disappear because of lack of funding and when the jail becomes the de facto mental health facility? We want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. As many of you know, when I'm not playing radio show host in the morning, I work for the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office. I'm the public information officer, and I'm also a deputy. So I spend a lot of time in the Oklahoma County Jail. I can tell you firsthand, the vast majority of people that are in that jail either have mental health issues or substance abuse issues or some combination thereof. And the Oklahoma County Jail has become a de facto mental health facility. This is where we're warehousing people that have mental health issues instead of treating them for those issues. And that's the very same with most jails and most prisons across the country, is that at some point we decided that it was cruel to forcibly institutionalize people with mental health issues, and it's somehow less cruel to let them walk the streets as being homeless, let them be subject to the elements, let them be beaten or otherwise attacked, somehow let them starve. Somehow that's less cruel than institutionalizing them. That doesn't make any sense to me. Again, 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the conversation this morning. These two stories really raise a much bigger question about Oklahoma's mental health care system. What happens when somebody is in psychiatric crisis and there aren't enough community resources to treat them? And what happens when one of those providers can't afford to stay open? I mean, we can train police, we can build crisis centers, we can operate 988, but we're talking about, if we're seriously talking about keeping people out of jail and keeping them healthy, Oklahoma has to make sure there's actually a strong mental health system waiting on the other end. Training police can only go so far. I know at the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office, for example, every deputy who deals with the public is CIT trained, crisis intervention trained. So trained to recognize when somebody is in mental health crisis, when somebody is on drugs, when somebody is on alcohol. But that only goes so far. Police officers don't have doctoral degrees in psychiatry. And to suggest that police officers should be the be-all and end-all when it comes to treating people with mental health crisis, it's just not feasible. It's not something that can be done. That's not the role that police officers should have. The common thread here is access to care. One story involves a woman with severe mental health crisis who died in jail. The other one involves a community mental health and substance use provider preparing to close after 42 years in business. Those are two very different failures, but they raise the exact same question. Are there enough places for Oklahomans in crisis to get treatment before the situation becomes an emergency? And as taxpayers, how much are we willing to spend in order to care for the people who have mental health issues? As many of you have probably figured by now, I tend to lean politically pretty conservative. But I'm also a big believer that you need to invest some type of money into mental health care in order to get people back on their feet again, stabilized, and into employment, and able to hold a job, able to pay taxes, able to raise a family, able to own property, all of the things that we expect from people to do in society. Unfortunately, there comes a price tag with that. But the payout, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's an investment. the payout is much greater than what we're investing into it. But it's time to start considering reopening some of these mental health facilities and requiring that some people go, if necessary, against their will. A jail cell should not be the default mental health treatment setting. The lawsuit over Shannon Hatchin's death alleges that her mental and physical condition deteriorated dramatically while she was incarcerated. The medical examiner listed psychosis and severe dehydration as significant contributing factors to her death. She died a horrible, agonizing death, and she died in jail. I would argue she probably shouldn't have been there in the first place. She was causing a little bit of a ruckus because of her mental health issues. And rather than recognizing that and taking her in for treatment, the default was to just bring her to the jail. And that's where she spent 12 days until she died. This $20 million lawsuit, I think that's definitely justifiable. Earlier that somebody gets help, the better off they are. So Oklahoma already recognizes this principle in its own behavioral health strategy. When you talk with folks from the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services, they say the crisis system is designed to intervene before people need higher levels of care. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be there, and people are falling through the cracks. You need some place to send people. Oklahoma's invested in 988, in mobile crisis teams, and urgent recovery clinics, and crisis stabilization units. Those are all very important parts of the system, but they depend on having an underlying network of community providers capable of taking care of patients and continuing their care. Just getting them in and out of crisis really isn't enough, and that seems to be what we're doing. Somebody goes into crisis, we quickly take care of them, we get them stabilized, put them right back out on the street again with no long-term care plan, and then we act surprised when they fall into the very same routine that they had before of mental health issues, of trying to self-medicate with drugs and with alcohol, and eventually with incarceration, which as taxpayers, that winds up costing us considerably more when it would be much easier and much more efficient to stabilize them in an institutionalized setting, give them the medications they need, give them the skills they need in order to cope, and then set them free to do their own thing. And I understand the concerns about nobody should ever have their constitutional freedoms taken away from them. People have a right to move about freely. But if you are consistently somebody who has mental health issues and it rises to a criminal level, even a minor criminal level consistently, isn't it incumbent upon us as a society to make sure that those people are cared for? What happens when a provider disappears? So Citizen Potawatomi Nation, in this case, donated $1.7 million in an effort to keep Gateway operating. But the organization says its ongoing revenue just wasn't sufficient. That suggests the problem may be bigger than just a single emergency donation. It raises questions about whether the funding model is sustainable. Law enforcement can solve a treatment problem, or cannot, rather, solve a treatment problem by itself. Oklahoma's own mental health agency describes specialized law enforcement training as a way to help officers connect with people experiencing mental health or addiction crisis with medical care rather than in jail. I've gone through the classes myself. I think they're extraordinary classes. They help us a lot as law enforcement to identify people who are in crisis. But at the end of the day, we can't solve the problem as law enforcement, and jail is certainly not the answer. We still have a lot we want to talk about this morning. We definitely want you to weigh in. Cleveland County commissioners are considering a $20 million settlement after a Norman business owner died in jail custody. We'll have the details on that one. Some Sooner Care recipients are being told they'll have to meet some new work requirements to keep their benefits. We'll explain the changes and who could be affected. Plus, we'll take your calls and comments at 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. The NTSB recovered the flight data and audio recorders from the deadly plane crash at Miami International Airport.
Speaking Monday from Miami, NTSB Chairwoman Jennifer Homendy said her agency is determined to get to the bottom of what happened.
We are deeply committed to our duty to determine how this accident occurred.
I'm Mark Mayfield.
Canada's new tariffs on billions of dollars in American goods are in effect. Oil prices hit a six-week high Labor Day. Brent crude oil futures surged to nearly $98 a barrel Monday after the U.S. and Iran traded strikes over the weekend. New York City Mayor Zohra Mamdani says he will attend Friday's 9/11 remembrance ceremony despite growing criticism. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
Commerce. This is Jeremy Thurman with McIntyre Law with your McIntyre Minute.
I love seeing folks out on their motorcycles when the weather turns. There's nothing like it. But I've got to say something because I've seen the other side. I've represented riders and their families after a wreck, and there's one thing that comes up again and again. The riders wearing your helmet had a fighting chance. The ones who weren't often didn't. A helmet doesn't make you less free. It's the thing that gets you home to the people you love, and the road doesn't care how experienced you are. It's the other driver, the one who doesn't see you, that you can't control. So please, put the helmet on. Every ride, every time. No matter how short or how long, wear your helmet, ride smart, and ride safe. And if someone else's carelessness has hurt you or a loved one, call McIntyre Law at 405-777-7000. We ride with you.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000.
Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Craft. A large grass fire forced the closure of State Highway 29 near Duncan Lake Road in Stevens County. OHP said heavy smoke from the fire created dangerous visibility conditions for drivers throughout the area. Both eastbound and westbound lanes were shut down Monday afternoon with troopers and transport officials working in the area. Drivers were asked to avoid the area and use alternate routes during the closure, with fire crews continuing to monitor the blaze for hot spots moving forward. Authorities report that so far there have been no injuries connected to the fire, but they're urging the public to avoid the area if at all possible. In Cleveland County, commissioners are expected to consider a proposed $20 million settlement connected to the death of Norman business owner Shannon Hanchett. Hanchett, who was known locally as the Cookie Queen and owner of the Cookie Cottage, died in the Cleveland County Detention Center in December of 2022 after spending less than 2 weeks in custody. Her husband later filed a lawsuit alleging she was experiencing a mental health crisis and didn't receive appropriate care. Under the proposed agreement, $2 million would come from insurance, with the remaining $18 million paid by the county over the course of 3 years. Settlement is scheduled for discussion during today's commissioner's meeting, with the case sparking widespread concern about mental health treatment within the jail system. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
When you give to OMRF, you're fueling medical research in the fight against cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, and more. And you can receive an Oklahoma tax credit of up to $2,000. Donate today at omrf.org.
Looking for a great deal on your next firearm? Then don't miss the used gun flash sale at H&H Shooting Sports. I'm Lee Matthews. It's going on Labor Day through Wednesday. Take 15% off all in-stock used firearms. Save big on a huge selection of used handguns, rifles, shotguns, and more. Hurry, this is a three-day only event, and when they're gone, they're gone. The used gun flash sale going on Labor Day through Wednesday only at H&H Shooting Sports, just off I-40 and Meridian.
What a great day to be an American. Major Ed Polito coming in hot and inviting you to participate in the 16th annual Major Ed Invitational on September 20th and 21st at the Greens Country Club, benefiting the Empower the Veterans Foundation. Please join me Sunday evening for our kickoff party and live country music from the Chad Todd Band. And on Monday, enjoy golf and live entertainment from the Kyle Rayner Band. For event sponsorships or to register your team, go to majored.org. And as I always say, God bless the United States of America. Hoorah!
Tractor Bob, Tractor Store ain't got no carpet on the floor. Tractor Bob's Tractor Store ain't got no expensive decor.
Folks, at Tractor Bob's, we are falling into savings and can't wait to see you at the Oklahoma State Fair September 17th through the 27th. The best deals and the biggest savings are happening all month long on all Bad Boy and Yanmar mowers, tractors, and UTVs. Beat the crowds and come shop with us now. Tractor Bob's, I-240 Shields, Oklahoma City.
TractorBob.com. TractorBob.com.
Foundation Churches at Western Days in Mustang. Stop by our booth, spin the prize wheel, and enter for your chance to win a flat screen TV. It's fun for the whole family, and we'd love to meet you. Find out more at foundationchurch.live.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will be scorching, matching the record high set in 1922 at 101 degrees under abundant sunshine. Expect breezy conditions later in the day. Tonight will be clear and very warm with a low of 77. Tomorrow will continue hot, surpassing the 1970 record high of 99, reaching 101 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Thursday will bring a chance of a morning thunderstorm in a few areas, followed by plenty of clouds. It'll be less hot, but still humid with a high of 85. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillback.
Good morning and welcome back. 81 degrees under clear sunny skies at 7:36. Wait a second, there's the hotline. Let me grab that real quick. Hi, Freedom 96.9.
Hey, Aaron. Paul Harvey.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Last night, I saw an old cowboy movie about a hotel.
Yeah?
It was the best Western I've ever seen.
Oh, best Western. Yeah.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Good day. Cleveland County commissioners are considering a $20 million settlement over the death of Norman's cookie queen, Shannon Hanchett, in the county jail. Hanchett spent 12 days in custody while during her what her family's lawsuit describes as a severe mental health crisis. The lawsuit alleges she stopped eating, became severely dehydrated, and eventually couldn't stand or care for herself. It also alleges that officers dragged her down a concrete hallway because she couldn't walk. Hanchett died of heart failure with psychosis and severe dehydration contributing. The proposed settlement does not include an admission of wrongdoing by the county. An OU health nurse is facing felony charges after police say he stole fentanyl from the OU Health Edmond Medical Center. Court documents allege ICU nurse Joseph Munez repeatedly canceled fentanyl transactions, blocked a surveillance camera, and was caught putting vials in his pockets. Investigators also say he used a syringe to remove leftover fentanyl from discarded IV bags for personal use. The affidavit says Munez admitted to stealing the fentanyl waste. The 38-year-old is already participating in a state-approved program for nurses dealing with substance abuse and can participate or can practice under supervision. He is being held on $3,000 bond. Oklahoma lawmakers are already looking ahead to the 2027 legislative session using interim studies to examine issues that could become legislation. This fall, lawmakers are studying topics ranging from domestic violence and the sex offender registry to education, health care, property taxes, and artificial intelligence. Other studies are looking at cold cases, rural infrastructure, workforce development, and criminal justice. These hearings give lawmakers an opportunity to hear from experts, review data, and consider possible changes before deciding what legislation to pursue. The 2027 session begins on February 1st. A longtime Shawnee mental health and substance use provider is preparing to close its doors after 42 years. Gateway to Prevention and Recovery says it'll shut down September 30th because of state and federal funding cuts and ongoing financial problems. The Citizen Potawatomi Nation donated $1.7 million in an effort to keep Gateway operating, but under that agreement, the tribe can take possession of Gateway's assets if the organization stops providing services. That includes the agency's campus. Tribal leaders now say they're looking at ways to use those assets to continue providing services, addressing addiction and mental health in the Shawnee community. A new Oklahoma law is giving families of cold case victims another way to seek answers. Senate Bill 1636, signed by Governor Kevin Stitt after unanimous approval in the legislature, allows families and advocates to request reviews of unsolved homicides and disappearances. Investigators who weren't originally assigned to the case will determine whether it should be reopened. That will include re-interviewing witnesses or testing physical evidence, including DNA, using newer technology. Investigators must make a decision within 6 months and explain their findings to the person who requested the review. That law takes effect in November. Massage therapists in Edmond are pushing back against new city regulations designed to crack down on illegal massage businesses and prostitution. The ordinance requires massage businesses to obtain a special use permit, display a valid state license, keep storefront windows free of opaque tinting. Therapists say that the new rules put additional costs on and paperwork on their businesses that are already operating legally. Some say the permitting process has cost them hundreds of dollars and makes legitimate therapists feel like suspects. The ordinance applies to new and existing businesses, and massage operators have until December 31st to meet those requirements. Well, some Sooner Care recipients will soon have to meet new work requirements to keep their health insurance. Starting January 1st, adults ages 19 through 64 generally will have to work, volunteer, attend school, or participate in an employment program for at least 80 hours a month or meet a minimum monthly income. The Oklahoma Healthcare Authority has started sending letters to people who could be affected. There are some exemptions, including for pregnant women, people with disabilities, and those with certain serious health conditions. The changes are part of new federal Medicaid requirements, and those will take effect in Oklahoma come January. So let's talk about this one just a little bit. And we want you to weigh in. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. 405-608-4377. Nobody's talking about taking health insurance away from somebody who is disabled, pregnant, or genuinely unable to work. The question is, what responsibility should come with a government benefit for an able-bodied adult? If you can work, go to school, get job training, or give back through community service, is asking 80 hours per month, so we're talking 20 hours per week, really an unreasonable expectation? 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in. 405-608-4377. The basic argument here is really responsibility. If somebody is able to work, should be receiving taxpayer-funded health coverage, come with a requirement to work or attend school or volunteer or participate in job training or be somehow a productive member of society in exchange for this taxpayer-funded health care. It's not necessarily a work-or-lose insurance requirement. The requirement allows several ways for people to qualify, including employment, education, community engagement, employment programs. You've got a lot of choices here. There are exemptions for people who genuinely can't work. So women who are pregnant, people with disabilities, and certain people with serious health conditions can qualify for exemptions. 80 hours per month, again, is roughly 20 hours per week. It's a relatively modest requirement for able-bodied adults receiving a government benefit. As a taxpayer, I'm honestly kind of ticked off that this hasn't happened before. Why am I spending so much money out of my paycheck every single month to pay for somebody else who chooses not to work, who chooses to be lazy, who chooses to sit on their couch and play their video games and snack on Doritos all day? Could Medicaid become a bridge to employment? The goal doesn't necessarily, it doesn't have to be a punishment. A work requirement could encourage people to gain skills, to find employment, to eventually become less dependent on government assistance. And let's be honest here, there's a certain level of dignity that comes with working. Oftentimes, people who aren't working and are just sitting on the couch and on public assistance and are able-bodied, they suffer with different depression-type issues because, you guessed it, they're not working. They're not accomplishing anything. There's no goals that they're fulfilling in their lives. And they just find themselves sitting around being a lump on a bump. And there's more to life than that. By requiring them to work at least 20 hours per week in exchange for these benefits might give them the motivation they need to actually get up and start moving. Taxpayers are funding this program. Supporters can ask whether it's reasonable for able-bodied adults to contribute through work or through community service when they're capable of doing so. Again, it's my money. I should have at least some say in how it's being spent, and it shouldn't be spent on some sloth who's sitting on the couch all day. There's a fairness argument here. Lots of us, millions of Americans, work to pay for our own health insurance. Many of us work two or three jobs trying to make ends meet. People who receive publicly funded coverage should, when capable, contribute something in return. Now, community service counts in this case. Somebody who can't immediately find a job, even though there are plenty of jobs here in Oklahoma, they may not be the job that you want, but there are plenty of jobs here in Oklahoma. People who can't immediately find a job but volunteers 80 hours a month could still satisfy that requirement. That means the policy can encourage contribution without requiring traditional means of employment. But the real question is how Oklahoma implements it. Rather than debating whether there should be any expectation at all, lawmakers should focus on making sure that people receive clear notices, have accessible ways to document compliance, and aren't removed simply because of bureaucratic mistakes, for example. If you're working that 80 hours, I would prefer you're working more than that, but if you're working that 80 hours as a very bare minimum, yes, you should be entitled to the services despite any type of bureaucratic mistake. So if somebody is healthy enough to work but chooses not to work, should taxpayers be expected to provide their health insurance indefinitely with no real expectation of participation? Well, this month, President Donald Trump pardoned four men whose federal convictions involved the National Firearms Act offenses, making the pardons particularly significant to Second Amendment advocates. Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association will be joining us on this 2A Tuesday to break it all down for us. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Tuesday morning. Got a crash reported at the Dallas Junction. That's 235 and I-40 causing delays. Construction delays, Danforth, between Santa Fe and Kelly. Eastbound, I-44 at Classen.
In this election season, when Oklahoma City wants real answers, real debate, and real truth, they listen to the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
McGriff Fortifies Oklahoma, live Saturday morning, 8 a.m., Sunday at 1. Call in your questions to roofing specialist Scott McCullum. McGriff Fortifies Oklahoma. Find out more at mcroof.us and tune in to our show on Freedom 96.9.
Mustang Western Days 2026. Red, white, and boots. This Friday and Saturday. Join us Friday for the 5K run, chili cook-off, arts and crafts booth, and food trucks. Then on Saturday morning, we'll start the day off with the pancake breakfast, the parade at 10 a.m., then back to Town Center for Chuck Wagon Roundup, more arts and crafts vendors, live entertainment. Join us Saturday from 4 to 7 for a free concert with OKC's own Super Freak. Make sure to join us Friday and Saturday nights at 8 o'clock for the Mustang Roundup Club IPRA Rodeo. For more information, visit MustangWesternDays.com.
Foundation Churches at Western Days and Mustang. Stop by our booth, spin the prize wheel, and enter for your chance to win a flat screen TV. It's fun for the whole family, and we'd love to meet you. Find out more at foundationchurch.live.
Set a button and tell all your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell the world about this station in Oklahoma, letting freedom ring with 100,000 watts of power. The new Freedom 96.9 at freedom969.com.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
The IRGC is a spokesperson, the parliament is a spokesperson, and they also have a president who came out and essentially said, we'd like to go back to the MOU. What does Secretary of State Marco Rubio say about that?
Well, look, I mean, that ship in many ways has sailed, no pun intended, with regard to the Straits. At the core issue here is they're never going to have a nuclear weapon. I have to remind people that continuously. This is all about the fact that they want to possess a nuclear weapon and threaten the world with it, and we'll never allow that to happen.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
Good morning and welcome back. Just a couple more days of dealing with the oven, and then things start to cool off for us just a little bit. Today we'll see hot and sunny conditions with a high of 101. Tonight, clear and warm, low of 77. On Wednesday, hot and sunny with a high of 101. Then on Thursday, you ready for this? Cloudy with some much-needed showers possible, high of only 85 degrees. It's 81 degrees outside right now and sunny at 750.
I have a constitutional right to
bear
arms. Look, I got my rights.
I know my rights.
This is 2A Tuesday, defending your Second Amendment right. Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on the new Freedom 96.9.
Well, President Trump has pardoned four people convicted of federal firearms offenses, drawing praise from the Second Amendment advocates. The cases involved violations of the National Firearms Act, including unregistered suppressors and other regulated firearms or devices. Supporters argue the convictions involved regulatory offenses rather than violent crimes. The pardons remove the federal firearms disabilities tied to those convictions, although they do not erase the convictions or change the underlying firearms laws. Don Spencer with Oklahoma Second Amendment Association joins us live to break down exactly what this means for us on this 2A Tuesday. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Hey, how many times have I told you, if you want things screwed up, just get government involved?
Let the government handle it.
Exactly. Here we go. For starters, let's go and make sure we have it clear. Russell Fincher, who is a preacher, a school teacher, and an FFL back in 2023, and I think we all remember who the president was at that time.
We do.
There was a warrant for the ATF to go into his home. And basically, the warrant was because his FFL stuff had paperwork that was not accurate. Now, at the time, there was a 500% increase on FFLs for paperwork problems. And I can tell you the basic problem that was happening, if you can imagine, Oklahoma, when you're filling out your paperwork, it says, what county do you live in? And a lot of people were putting down Oklahoma because it didn't make sense to them. And so they put down the wrong county. And this is the technical reason why they went in and stole 50-plus guns from this guy, threatened his son, and all these types of things, and which I think has finally taken place. The president last week issued a presidential pardon because of this incredible, incredible, malicious, intentional oversight on the ATF.
And anybody who's ever filled out any paperwork to purchase a gun knows that the questions can be very, very odd, and everything has to be exactly perfect. And if you get something wrong, you're facing 20 years in prison, which is crazy.
Right, right. And over a comma, over something simple, not having, like, you know, forgetting to put a part of your street address, street number down, something like this. It's absolutely Joe Biden at his best, and this is why we need good government and a reminder of it.
It was funny you said, though, you know who was president during that time. Do we really know who was president during that time?
Well, I was being kind. You're absolutely right. You called me on that.
President Otto Penn, yeah.
That's a great point. So, but the President Real Penn, which, by the way, I'm going to be in Dallas this week, and I will be at the convention, so that will be, I'll get to see the president this week.
Nice.
But, you know, it's great to see our Hermet Dillon and new attorney general working to return our Second Amendment rights, even though they have to do it kind of slow, kind of chisel it away. It is happening. And to stop this type of, this is absolute tyranny by the ATF, and it should just be AT. I mean, the F part should be out of the whole equation.
Get the F out is what you're saying.
Get the F out is exactly what I'm telling you.
So another one of these cases, we had a gentleman who kind of made himself a makeshift suppressor and wound up getting, what, 20 years for that, 25 years for that?
Right. And it just, I think it wasn't even the suppressor. It's the adapter so you can put on your gun so it'll let it drain down into an oil filter. Stuff like that is just absolutely insane. It's such a violation of the Second Amendment, and this stuff has got to end. And like I say, I think we're definitely in a positive direction to do exactly that.
And none of these guys had any violent histories. They weren't terrorists. They weren't people who were supplying guns to terrorists throughout the nation. These were guys who were largely hobbyists.
Well, let's go back to a pastor and a teacher. This is two professions that are not directly associated with people that are violent nature. So, yeah, exactly.
So what?
And this took place in Tuscoma, Oklahoma.
Yep. So what does this mean for the rest of us now? Because obviously we've got some changes that have been made recently that currently allow us to get suppressors without having to get the permit. It's still up in the air in terms of the short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, that kind of a thing. But what does this mean for the rest of us?
What it means for the rest of us, I think, I hate to be optimistic here, it means we can live our life as normal and should not have to fear government so much on this overreach that has been established by this previous administration. And also, I'm just grateful that Trump is making the effort to clarify and put these people back whole. I still don't know what's going to be the if this guy's going to be able to sue to get a compensation for this or not. I'm hoping next week, OK2A meeting, next Tuesday night at H&H Gun Range, Russell Fincher will be at our meeting and we'll be going over all of this detail. So I invite everyone to show up and ask questions and listen to this guy's testimony of what's taking place.
So bigger picture here is we've got agencies like the ATF that are non-elected bodies. They have no lawmaking capability. They're not the legislature, yet they develop policies that we have to follow or else we go to jail.
You left out one word, unconstitutional.
Unconstitutional.
Policies so, that they continue to do.
So the plus is we've got a new sheriff in town in Donald Trump who is able to better rein in the ATF. But what happens when we get a different president in, like an AOC?
And well, I think also one learning part of the equation out of this is the judiciary is actually doing more work fixing this than the Congress is. And the president is hands are tied because the anti-Trumpers won't do anything, let alone Second Amendment legislation. So I find this, like I said, the judiciary, because of Trump, we've got a judiciary that is working for the most part in our direction and will continue to do so. Like I say, this is the same judiciary that made sure that Trump's bump stock ban was overturned.
Yeah.
And here we are. Go buy your bump stocks.
But
have a trigger.
Yeah, me too. At what point do you just push for the abolition of these agencies, not just the ATF, but other government agencies that have no legislative abilities, they're unconstitutional, and they have not been elected by the people, yet they impose these rules upon us that can get you 20, 25 years in federal prison?
Well, where you push is people like Kevin Hearn, who are running for U.S. Senate, and you put people in there that are constitutional. By the way, Kevin Hearn is an OK2A member and has been for over 10 years. So this is the type of people we want in there that will look out for all of our liberties, not just Second Amendment, because they all tie together eventually anyway. But this is where you get things solved, is by getting the right people in there and keeping them in there.
Now, just briefly, you had mentioned, I'll have you mention again, you guys have a meeting coming up with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association?
Yep. A week from tonight, the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association at H&H Gun Range at 6:30 p.m. Russell Fincher, and also we'll have some other people that are running for office there, and also we'll give an update for the latest minute on the short barrel issue and suppressor issue as we know it.
Excellent. You going to serve food?
We like to meet at the cafe there, which is awesome.
There you
go.
So,
yeah, I'm serving food. You can watch me eat mine.
You can buy your own damn food is what we're getting at.
That's right.
Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association. He joins us each and every OK2A Tuesday on Oklahoma's Freedom's First News with Aaron Brelbeck, Freedom 96.9. Coming up for us later on today, we'll have Brian Kilmeade at 8 o'clock, Eric Erickson at 11, Dana Lash comes in at 2 o'clock, then Lee Matthews with The Drive at 4 o'clock. So make sure you stick around.